JG 2. Number 10 B.
Well, we can see that we now come into the play between absolute Christian Science and Christian Science. And this is very important because I could see already from the seminar I gave on the West Coast, it wasn't understood. And we tussled it out together, so to speak. Because I could see, not within everyone, of course, but within a few, that it wasn't really understood what it means that there's only one line between absolute Christian Science and Christian Science. It doesn't mean that the absolute Christian Science is a standpoint and then you take the standpoint of Christian Science. As on the level of science itself, that was a realm of principle being its own infinite principle. And then on divine science, that was a realm of principle, and its idea is one, and this one is principle. Now, on absolute Christian Science, the standpoint is absolute Christian Science with two offices. We take the calculus of ideas. We take the standpoint of the calculus of ideas. But we don't leave the standpoint of perfection. We take the standpoint of the calculus of ideas and see that it has two different standpoints. Two sides of the same coin, so to speak. Meaning we take the standpoint of the calculus of ideas, and if we go out always calculating from that standpoint, calculating in pure values, we're always beholding in science the perfect man. But if that is such that pure calculation is misunderstood, that calculus of spirit is misunderstood and called matter, that has to be simultaneously corrected. Therefore, we don't leave the standpoint of the calculus of ideas of perfection. We see how the calculus has its impact on false calculation. We don't take the standpoint of false calculation, do we? No, no more than we take the standpoint of 2 plus 2 equals 5. We always reason from cause to effect. As Christian Scientists, we never do anything but reason from cause to effect in the science of mind. We begin with mind that can only be understood through its idea and never from its opposite matter. We are asked to, as Christian Science, to always reason from perfection, to behold in science the perfect man. As concerning the universe, including man, including ourselves. We never take any standpoint of seeing the mortal man. It's not a value. And yet, and that standpoint heals. Only perfection heals. Only 2 plus 2 equals 4 will heal the 2 plus 2 equals 5. Struggling with the 2 plus 2 equals 5, making a reality value out of the 2 plus 2 equals 5 does nothing. It doesn't cut any ice. Anyhow, we can see that the problem of what we call the physical or the calculus of the false beliefs, we already saw that the physical is not a reality. The error of the first degree, she didn't consider reality. It's of no value because she shows that every cause is mental, that the mental is the cause of the physical. It's just some false belief entertained. And the only way one can solve a false belief which objectifies itself as a physical claim is our ideas. Only ideas can heal false beliefs. So why take the standpoint of false beliefs? She says it won't heal anything. And anyhow, we are the perfect calculus. Go back to the calculus, but go back to perfection. It's the only standpoint that heals, and that has an impact. Did you want to say something, Mary Jane?
You said that science is a realm, as we know, and divine science is a realm. Would you say that absolute and Christian science together is a...
Yeah, it's absolute Christian science that has its impact. Now let me read this here from Max. It might make it clearer in his book on the four levels of spiritual consciousness when he's talking about absolute Christian science in its two aspects on page 68 in the four levels book. And so we now turn to page 68 in the Four Levels book under the heading Absolute Christian Science. Last paragraph under the heading Two Aspects. It says, Christian Science has two aspects. First, Absolute Christian Science, often also termed Christ Science, which is concerned with absolute truths. Second, Christian Science, which deals with concrete forms of error. We call the second aspect simply Christian Science. The textbook writes literally of absolute Christian Science in a few instances only, but many of the references to Christian Science touch the absolute sense. Christian Science as such is always absolute because it proceeds from an absolute standpoint and remains there. The level of Christian Science is not a relative one. It merely shows the effect of absolute truths in the realm of belief, its effect on the human and consequently on the relative standpoint. We never, as Christian Scientists, take a relative standpoint ever, and think how we do it all the time. Go out from sickness and wonder how we can be healed. And we don't make a reality value, as we'll see as we keep going along here, that Mrs. Eddy's logic was a dual conceptual logic, where she said that God is all, good is all, good is the real value, and evil is a counterfeit. And so therefore she went against the Aristotelian logic that good is a value and evil is a value. Well, if evil is a value, we embody the value. But if evil is no value and it's a counterfeit, then why make a reality value out of no value? It's not to be considered. It's only, as he says, that Christian Science as such is always absolute. We are always asked as Christian Science to take the absolute standpoint of the calculus of ideas. Makes logic. If we're absolute mathematicians, and he calls us spiritual mathematics, if we're absolute scientists, absolute Christian Scientist mathematicians, we're going to always calculate correctly out from the principle of mathematics. It makes sense. It's just human experience wants us not to be a scientist. But as a scientist, we always know this to be true. That's why it's important that we culture our science aspect of Christian Science. Because we know in science, that's just logical. To go back to a principle and stick to it. So Christian Science as such is always absolute because it proceeds from an absolute standpoint and remains there. The level of Christian Science is not a relative one. See, it's not a relative standpoint we take. It merely shows the effect of absolute truths in the realm of belief. Its effect on human and consequently on the relative point of view. So we always take the absolute standpoint and remain there. And therefore that standpoint shows the effect that the absolute right calculation from a principle has on a miscalculation, on the effect. Do you see? That's all. That's why there's only one line. Our standpoint is absolute Christian Science, showing if we stick to the positive calculations out from the science of it, stick to the principle, always stick to the principle, it handles positive values, and we always stick to the principle, it handles negative values. But always sticking to the principle, always reasoning 2 + 2 = 4 is going to eventually build a bridge for us, or it's going to eventually solve the problem of 2 + 2 = 5, but we've always stuck to the value of 2 + 2 = 4. Do you see? It either calculates positively, and will someday, I say, go into a calculus of building a bridge, or it will handle the false calculus of 2 + 2 = 5. But we never left the standpoint of 2 + 2 = 4. That's the key to healing. No other standpoint can be taken. We can take no other standpoint and be a Christian Science and expect healing to occur. Because otherwise we're making a reality out of a value that is not a reality. And it's not scientific, that type of a method. We stick to the principle and we never leave the principle of calculation. Never. All right, so we go on and see, therefore, that there are quite, Mrs. Eddy, what you present certainly is of a high spiritual value. It certainly is a spiritual science, a pure science, one in which, therefore, as Christian Scientists, as we see now, we're asked to go out from perfection. As she said, Christian Science isn't behind the point of perfection nor advancing towards a perfection. It's at the standpoint of perfection. And that is what's hard for us in life experience, because we've been trained and educated wrongly. And that's why she says that there has to be a whole new educational system, that she puts a lot on education. Of the future will be in spiritual things. Well, it's education on how to reason correctly. We have been taught to reason improperly in the schools by reasoning always out from effect to cause, and she's asking for a whole new change into reason now from cause to effect. That's very hard for us because of the years and years of years of listening, you know, to the mortal mind standpoint and all that is around us on the television and radio and newspapers, always going out from the effect, always going out from error and making a reality value out of error or misunderstanding or the miscalculation. So it takes quite a bit of spiritual education, spiritual culturing, spiritual exercise, we know now, in order to go the way of mind to spirit to soul, the principle, life, truth, and love, and consciousness, where we identify with all those ideas that characterize mind, and then we go out and reason from mind and see the universe only as mind sees the universe. And then we identify with the ideas of spirit, and then we go out from spirit and see the universe only as spirit sees the universe. And then we identify with all the ideas of soul, and then we go out and see the universe as soul sees the universe. And we identify with all the ideas of principle, and we go out and see the universe as principle sees the universe. And we identify with the ideas of life, and we go out and see the universe as life sees the universe. And we identify with the ideas of truth, and we go out and see the universe as truth sees the universe. And we identify with the ideas of love, and we go out and see the universe as love sees the universe. And that takes a lot of practice, doesn't it? Because we know the minute we do that, then we believe a lie. Then we let all that be reversed. It's as we know all the time put into physical exercise, we know that we ourselves are training ourselves to put into the spiritual exercise of how hard it is to stick to the focal point of spirit. We just can't do it for more than 2 seconds, and then we're off again talking about the illusion. And so therefore, even if everyone else talks about the illusion, we can just let it go on, but not make a reality value of it. Just keep focusing on what is real and keep practicing. This is what we do. This is what we are training ourselves to do. And as I showed the first evening, I like that booklet, The Ordered Approach to the One Being, because Max shows the step-by-step exercises that we can do in a logical way, enabling us to put off the old method of calculation and put on the new method of calculating, always out from perfection. So we see then that this level coming up in our discussion will be then the level of Christian science. And we know now that that level is not a level to be considered in being. As Max says, it's not a relative one. It just shows the impact of the absolute on the relative standpoint, on relative, on these false beliefs. And it's that impact that heals. It's just understandable. It's just a question to do as Jesus did. Just stick to the perfect man. Stick to beholding this world as God sees the world. And as we'll see, let the Christ analyze, uncover, and annihilate the situation. So the interplay between absolute Christian science is such that we take the standpoint of the calculus of ideas, and we see that calculus solves positive problems, and that calculus solves what we call negative problems, which are just false beliefs. What are those false beliefs? Those false beliefs are just the world of spirit turned upside down, called spiritualism. Spiritualism has not all of spiritualism is concerned with spiritism or the world of spirits. Spiritualism is the belief that principle God can be turned into its opposite. Spiritualism, therefore, is the second record of creation. We have the science of spirit in the first record of creation, where we go out from let there be mind, let there be light, let me see the universe as mind sees the universe, and then there goes a mist up that says no. That there's also ignorance in the world. There's also mortal mind in its beliefs. And we say, well, I'm going to stick to going out from all is mind, which is spirit, and spirit is the only reality. And then that is immediately turned into its opposite by the second record of creation, says, no, there's a tree of the duality of matter and spirit, good and evil, the mingling of opposites. Or we say, I'm going to go out from soul of the third day and stick to the fact that I see the world as soul, sees the world, and then the claim comes that it wants to turn soul into its opposite and say, well, my soul isn't spirit. I'm not a mind, spirit, soul identity. Right away, we let that be turned into the belief that we're mind in a matter body. Or we go out and say, I want to see the world as the fourth day of creation, as seeing the world as principle sees the world. And then we let that be reversed and we see the world as division, as wizards peep, as personalities, people, personal, organizational, everything personal. And then we say, well, I'll see the world as life sees the world, the fifth day. And then the reversal comes up and says, well, no, there's not just life eternal. You're also born in matter, live in matter, grow old in matter, and die out of matter. They say, well, I think I'll see the world as the sixth day of creation, as out from truth, divine consciousness. And the claim right away is to reverse that and to see the world from mortal consciousness, which is filled of the universal, collective, and individual beliefs operating on the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious realm. Or we say, well, I think I'll go out and see the world as love sees the world. And the reversal comes up and says, oh, well, there's that realm of fear, hate, jealousy, and so forth. The minute that we don't stick to the standpoint of the first a record of creation and we let that be reversed, then that is spiritualism, the science of spirit. And then spiritualism is the science of spirit turned upside down. It's a reversal. It's the exact opposite of the science of God. Anytime we believe in reversal, I said, is spiritualism. Anytime we believe, we have gone out and seen the world as God sees the world, then we fear that's going to be reversed. It's spiritualism. And as I said, anytime we go to that system of reference of the second record of creation, the Adam dream, for understanding. Anytime we go, as I said many times now, as she shows in the fourth chapter, to the wizards of Pete, that's spiritualism. Anytime we give that system a reference, the power to influence us for good or evil, that's animal magnetism. Anytime that we make a god or goddess or a devil out of that system of reference, that's mythology. And so the opposite of the fourth, fifth, and sixth chapters. So we see that Christ Jesus, Christ science, divine science have come to wipe spiritualism, animal magnetism, mythology out of the temple, out of consciousness, out of consideration, showing us it's no value. And so what we see is that Mrs. Eddy's logic was a dual conceptual logic, meaning she saw the reality of the spiritual realm of the first record of creation, the reality of the realm of the spiritual, and then saw hence the awful unreality called evil. Max shows it as a dual conceptual logic in his booklet, The Logic on Christian Science. It's the same idea Mrs. Eddy gives in the sixth chapter when she calls it the equipollence of God, when she says that all is spirit, hence the awful unreality called evil. She never deals in the Aristotelian two-valued logic, but in the dual conceptual logic, which only gives good a value and gives the concept good. It's a dual conception logic, giving the concept good a value and giving the concept evil no value, saying the concept good is the fact and the concept evil is a counterfeit. Never in her language does she use counterfact. So, therefore, that is what the levels are showing then between absolute Christian science and Christian science. Now it's just a question of our keep training ourselves then to go out from the level of absolute Christian science and keep calculating with those spiritual values. And those spiritual values, again, I repeat, we know now, solve positive problems, but they also, those spiritual values, solve what we call false beliefs. They see the nothingness of nothing becomes plain. Now we see that this is a system that operates by itself. We don't make this translation and retranslation occur. We don't resolve the illusion. It's a simultaneous happening. When we go out from idea, it naturally resolves the illusion. Mrs. Eddy says that when we go out from the idea, she calls it through the law of opposite, it analyzes, uncovers, and annihilates the illusion. That's done simultaneously. The minute there is light, there can be no darkness. So she shows that we know as the backbone of Christ science, the science and health, the whole backbone of her teachings in the textbook of the sixth chapter, we know now is, shows that Christ in his translation and retranslation, which is the backbone of the textbook of this age of the 6,000 year period of truth, the science and health, the two-edged sword of truth, where the first translation is what is reality, what is science, which shows that principle always translates itself to idea. Principle always brings the right idea to consciousness. And when we stick to that idea and to the calculus of ideas, absolutely simultaneously occurs the retranslation where the false belief of the first degree disappears. As it disappears, it takes us to through a transitional stage of the second degree of that evil false belief disappearing until we arrive in the third degree of the reality value that we're dealing with. So that reality value comes to us. We stick to that reality value. It simultaneously analyzes, uncovers, and annihilates any claim against that reality value. We don't struggle with error. It's the impact of that reality value on error. We don't do any retranslating. In 2 plus 2 equals 4, if we stick by to 2 plus 2 equals 4, that automatically gets rid of the 2 plus 2 equals 5. If that's why she said it's spiritual mathematics and it operates with mathematical certainty, trying to tell us to be a spiritual mathematician. It's easy in mathematics. We do it all the time. And so she's trying to say, have that same attitude. Have that same attitude of a scientist. Stick to the principle. I say that God is a principle. Stick to it. Be a scientist. It's Christian science, Christ scientist. Have that attitude of a scientist. The problem is that she had to present science to a religious age, and we took it as a religion. Too bad. She didn't want it to happen that way. She didn't want it involved in religion. The people made her do it. It was a science. And if it had stayed a science, it probably would have been easier for us to approach it as we would mathematics. And if it would have been, she could have been allowed to write her book out from the premise of spiritual mathematics, from principle. But that heavy religious aid made it become a religion. Too bad. It's just something that happened, but it's all for good. We all came through the church. We had that heavy religious consciousness, and many of us came through the church. We had to. It was a religious age into now a scientific age, but we struggle out of an emotional approach to life, out of a false education. So taking all of us are good mathematicians, I know, and so if we take the attitude that this is spiritual mathematics, it, I think, helps a lot.